Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Ryan Rowan, 9 years of career experience, currently a firefighter medic on truck 553 for the City of Euless Fire Department in Texas, husband, father, Oklahoma smoke diver, and creator of Die to Live Ops on Instagram. Ryan is a humble guy who wanted to do something positive in life, so he jumped in with both feet to obtain all the certifications needed to become a firefighter, one who doesn't want to be just average. Ryan believes that your reputation precedes you when walking into the door. My favorite quote from Ryan is this: I want to learn how to suffer well for my family. With that, I present Mr. Ryan Rowan.
Ryan Rowan, I've been in the fire service for 9 years. Currently work for the Euless Fire Department. They're a three-station department, suburban. So they're right between Dallas and Fort Worth. So we're right next to the airport. And we're fairly busy department. I mean, busy enough. We run about 2,000 calls each station that we run, about 6,000 calls total. So, you know, each station that's there, you know, we tend to be, you know, busy enough. Currently, I'm at station 553, or station 3, which is their main station. So we have a truck 553, medic 553, our battalion chief, and we got a squad unit. And I'm a firefighter paramedic, so I rotate between riding on the truck and riding on the medic, and also the squad, which our squad is essentially it's a F-450 chassis. It's got like a 300 gallon tank on it, and it's got some rescue tools and some EMS equipment, and basically it keeps miles off the truck. But yeah, where it all started was in high school. Wasn't ever really a great student, but you know, all I really cared about at the time was, you know, football and hanging out with my friends. So by the time high school ended, a lot of my friends went off to college, and I kind of had to figure out what I needed to do. So after putting some thought into it, you know, firefighting seemed like it'd be something that I might be good at. You know, I didn't have any friends, family that were firefighters, but just always looked like it'd be something I'd be into. So I signed up for an EMT course and quickly learned that, you know, this is going to be a pretty awesome job, something I might be good at. So from the EMT course, I went to TCC. They have a fire academy there, or Tarrant County College. And you know, put myself through fire academy there. And then, you know, everybody you talked to, they all said, you got to have your paramedic in order to get on a fire department. And they always called that the golden ticket. So I actually went down to Corpus Christi, which is South Texas, to go get my paramedic at their local college down there. And kind of the dream for me was to become a firefighter and a fishing captain. So I liked deep sea fishing. That was kind of something I always enjoyed doing. And I actually met a fishing captain when I was down there once, and that's what he did. So he bounced, you know, between working his job as a firefighter and a fishing boat captain. So that was kind of the pipeline dream that I was going down. And so I did my paramedic stuff down there and rode out with Corpus Christi. They're an awesome department. They were super busy. We ran like a lot of cool calls. But kind of quick, or after a year and a half of being down there, I kind of realized that that's not really a place where I'd want to raise a family and, you know, all that stuff. So I actually came back to the DFW area and started applying at a bunch of different departments around this area. And during that time, I was actually plumbing. So I was a plumber's apprentice for like 2 years when I was back here in the DFW area. And that was actually a lot of fun. Learned a lot of good things, and a lot of things I actually end up transferring over into the fire service.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, I mean, this was, 10 years ago. I'm still thankful to have that experience, just with construction and kind of seeing how things work. And so while I was doing that, I think I tested, it was like 20, 23 or 24 different fire
Wow.
departments.
Damn.
So yeah, it was a lot. So like, if you can imagine, like it was like a roller coaster, like, because there's so many times, and I was probably like 20, 21 years old at this time. And there's so many times where you make it to the last two, three spots, and then, they're only hiring one guy. So you end up not making it. So, I mean, it was kind of emotional roller coaster, but I end up, just sticking with it. And eventually, hired me on, and I was like, I think I got really lucky with ULIS. I mean, they're a great department, a great culture. We're small, we got three stations, but we act big, and there's a lot of guys there that I'm just like super thankful to be around, because there's a lot of mentors, a lot of good leadership, and like I said, like really good culture. And I think that's what, I mean, the guys that typically end up getting hired on at ULIS, end up staying there for like a career's worth. So I think the culture has a lot to do with that. But yeah, so 9 years later, here I am.
Man, that's it's definitely it speaks volumes because, not having anybody in the fire service, but you jumped with both feet and then you did what I would say, I wouldn't say it's the impossible, but it is pretty big. You went and got your paramedic. I mean, me personally, I have zero desire to do that. I respect paramedics when we're on scene and they're doing the formulas and whatever the case may be. But I mean, you took it upon yourself and you're like, hey, if you're serious and like, if I want a shot at this, I'm going to go down to get my paramedic. And you went down to Corpus Christi. And I'm sure, how long was that program for?
It's like a year and a half.
So you pretty
I mean, it
much
was
like,
like a full-on program. It wasn't like accelerated. It took a while.
right. So you moved, or essentially, you pretty much moved to get this done. Like, so you had skin in the game and you're like, I'm doing this, and it shows now.
Yeah, no, it was definitely all in with it, So I mean, it was, because even before that, just the decision to be a firefighter, it was all in, to try to do that. And like I said, I wasn't like the greatest kid growing up, I definitely got in trouble, a handful of times, and did my fair share of things I wish I didn't do, but it was an all in venture for me. So, friends and family, that know me, know that it was almost like a complete 180 flip for me. And I know there's a lot of other firemen out there that have similar stories, but it definitely wasn't just a casual, hey, I'll try it out. Like, dude, this was something I was, committed towards since day one. And I mean, honestly, just thinking back on it, it seems kind of wild, but that's how it was. Like, I was committed. As soon as that decision was made, up to 9, 10 years later, it's been a commitment ever since.
Right. And like I said, that's a testament. Not a lot of people do that. So, with your department, though, you said three stations, each station running about 2,000 calls. That's pretty damn busy. And what other departments are around you guys that you're on mutual aid with?
Yeah, so we kind of have a cool thing going on. So the biggest departments, we sit there right between Fort Worth and Dallas, and we do a little bit of mutual aid with Fort Worth. But there's a lot of smaller cities, kind of just like ULIS, that are, anywhere from 10 to 20 square miles, three stations to five stations. And there's, I forget the number of it now, it may be like up to 14. But there's like 14 of us that kind of all got together, and we're in a group called NEFDA, Northeast Fire Department Association. And we all share resources, we all share mutual aid. So, that's something that's always been really cool with our area is that our mutual aid has been extremely strong. Like great relationships with all our neighboring departments, great relationship with utilizing each other's like resources and stuff. So, just north of us, we got Grapevine, Bedford borders our city, Fort Worth borders our city, and we got Hearst that borders our city. So, like I said, those are all kind of suburban departments, just like us, but we kind of collectively all act as like a big department. It's worked out really well.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna have you go back a little bit. Can you explain how your first, like once you got the phone call, hey, this is the city of Euless, we'd love to hire you. You come on. Did you have to do like a rookie school, or was it kind of like a little orientation and then, all right, this is how we do things, bam, you're on the truck.
Yeah, so you have to have prerequisites coming in. So some of that is being at least paramedic or at least paramedic and fire. So if you showed up and they hired you with and you only had your paramedic, they would most likely send you through fire school. But for me, since I had both coming in, they'll hire you on and then you'll go in what we call days. So it's, 3 weeks, 9 to 5. I'm
Okay.
sure a lot of departments have that pretty similar thing. And then you do 3 months on the engine or truck, which our trucks are Quints. And then you'll do 3 months on the medic. So, and you rotate between each three stations. So there's a total of 6 months of kind of probationary training. But it's all formal training. We have a lot of objectives and checklists that we got to go through. But once you get through those 6 months, and then you start kind of falling into the mix as far as where they need you and stuff.
Okay. So can you explain, like, how did it feel like when you got assigned your first crew? Did you automatically try to find the individuals you wanted to emulate?
Yeah, so I think being at like a small department, it almost wasn't as much as like the crews I wanted to be on, but there was like you almost get to know the individuals, so there's a lot of individuals that end up gravitating towards the ones that and also the ones I gravitated away from. So because honestly, I didn't get assigned a station until I was like, 6 or 7 years in. Yeah, I made a field. Yeah. So, during that time, I would just kind of bounce around, where there was holes that were needed. And they would kind of, stick you at a station, for a while. They would try to make that work. But you're really, as a newer guy, you're kind of seeing everybody all the time. And which I think it has a lot of benefits. You get to see a lot of different individuals and build relationships like throughout the department. And I loved doing that because, like I said, there was a lot of different individuals, not just crews or stations, that I kind of gravitated towards. So I end up, kind of building relationships with these people and, trying to learn from them, get mentored by them. And then, the last 3 years, I've been at my station now, which is Station 3, and honestly, it's been great. There's a lot of good. There's like 8 or 9 guys of us, and it's a busy station. I mean, not just calls, but like, that's where all the admin stuff goes through. So we're a super busy station. All the guys there, rock solid, and we work really hard, and we play really hard, and it's a ton of fun right now.
Awesome. Awesome. With that being said, man, let's hit your first topic of reputation, because I truly believe reputation goes a long way in the fire service, especially. I mean, it can go both ways, but I think when you're on a department that's a little bit smaller in size, where not everybody's just a number, like everybody knows you by name, your reputation precedes you. So how important is that to you?
Yeah, dude, That's exactly right. Because, especially being at a small department, I mean, there's literally nowhere you can hide. There just isn't. So, and the perks of that is, there's accountability factor. You can't just be, tucked away somewhere. There's nowhere you can hide. Like, so as far as reputation goes, this is always something, we talk to with new guys, especially, because that's such a formidable, period of time. That first, I mean, really, it's the moment you walk in the door, that's when your reputation starts. And, and just having, and having, starting out your career on a good foot is so important. Because your reputation, will follow you for your whole career.
Absolutely, yes.
So, and then, another thing with that is, the perception is reality, to a lot of firefighters out there. So you want to be the guy that works really hard. You want to be the guy that builds trust, with the crews around you. So, your actions and your attitude that you carry with you every single day, those things matter, because that's how you build the trust, how you build the relationships with the people around you that you work with.
No,
And
definitely.
you have to work to maintain it too, like every day show up.
Right. No, you're right. And I like how you stated how with your probationary period or being new to the department, yes, it would kind of suck that hey, we need a spot here, we need a spot here, next shift you're there. But with you doing that, you get to see, and this is the part I love that you said was you get to see the people you want to be, but then you also see the people you're like, ugh, I don't want to be this person. Like to me, it's good to see both sides because all right, like this person's dialed in, this person is not so much dialed in, but also with having a department so small, there are no places to hide. And that's where I feel like the bigger departments, man, there's individuals out there that are hiding in the shadows, praying like the spotlight's never put on them. And it's like you can't be like that in this field. You know what I mean? Like you can't, it's there's no way you should be hiding.
Yeah, because I mean, that's, dude, at some point it's going to be exposed somehow. Whether it's on a call on the fire ground in the firehouse, at some point, things are going to be exposed. And it's important, as firefighters, that we always stay humble, try to get out of our comfort zone, because there's those firefighters that are humbled, and those that are going to be humbled. And at some point in time, we have to show up and we have to work. And guys know. I mean, guys know are the ones, guys know the ones that are going to put out, and the ones that are not. They may try to shy away from some things, but, and it's part of like just building trust. It's just building, and you build trust through, the hard work and doing the right things at the right times. So.
Definitely, definitely. Now, with you being on a truck or Quint, if you're in the same position I am, we have cross lanes, we have water. We're not a true truck, but we can function as a truck depending on our arrival. With that being said, are you an engine or a truck guy? Because you got to experience both.
Dude, I really like that question, because, and it's funny because, like throughout my career, I've kind of been both. Like, it's almost like you go through like different phases. I've never been just hardcore one or the other, but like growing up into the fire service, it's really just, for one, you're just trying to figure it out. Kind of get there. You're trying to learn what it means to be a good fireman. You're trying to learn, how to be on the medic and how to jive with your crew, and just kind of what this job's like all about. And then I remember I kind of drifted into like a lot of engine company stuff. So, and this was like when I'm sure you follow the page, like Engine Company Resurrection. So, like, it was like a while back. I don't know, like 2017, 18, like I really started like following them, and I just had like a bunch of questions, about, again, like what is a good engine company. What is a good fire tech? What is, good operations? So just there was a huge curiosity and went through like a lot of trainings to try to figure out, what it means to be a good engine guy, like just trying to figure all that out. And so I went through a huge period of where, it was like hose and nozzle packages and just the philosophy of it and the training of it. And I really dove deep into it. So like at that point in time, I was really focused on that. And then I would say in the last, 3, 4 years, I've really started really diving into like search and truck tech and all that stuff. And I think it's probably especially since, being at Station 3, we do have an aerial platform there. But again, it's it is a Quint. So, a lot of times, depending on the crew you're with or who you're with, a lot of times, if you show up first at a fire, we're pulling lines, and depending on the situation. But we want to try to adopt some of those that truck mindset of things. So there hasn't like right now, it is kind of like an era of search and what does it mean to be a good truck guy. And the reality of our department is you have to be really good at both. Like you could definitely be on an engine and end up, vertically bending a roof or forcing doors or doing a search. And you could be on a Quint or the truck and end up being fire tech. So it's definitely been a blend of both. And I don't like right now it's more truck, I guess if I had to answer it.
And it's funny because I feel like I can 100% relate to you on that because I was on an engine like when I got into my recruit class in rookie school there. They always ask, where do you want to go? I wanted to go to our engine one, and I always stayed on an engine. Like, yes, we had to be disciplined in doing like truck tactics, but I was never like into the truck, But then when we were opening our new station, something just like I felt very comfortable on an engine. I was on an engine for 16 years. And so I was like, hey, I'm gonna go for it. And I put a transfer request and I got it. And then I started taking truck classes when they're available. And I'll tell you what, and it's funny how you're in Texas. So I took Kevin Lewis' his truck company
Twisted
class,
Tracker, yeah.
Twisted Truckee, man. And it's an art form. And I told him, when we were going through, like he wanted us to grab some ladders, throw it against the building, go and do your search. Like I felt tired and winded. And I told him, I said, hey, like I feel like I'm in pretty decent shape, but I'm tired. And he's like, it's because you're using different muscles that you've never used before. And he's right. Like being true truckies, like big city true truckies, bro, that is, you have to be on your game. Like
Dude,
the ladders
absolutely.
aren't heavy, or I mean, ladders aren't light. Even whether you have duo safety or the alkalites, like it's you're working different muscle groups, there's different techniques involved, and I found it as a challenge, man. So I embraced it, and I'm not saying like I'm always gonna stay on the truck, but I love the fact that it's a different type of work. And like you said, search, I started taking search classes, I took the CAN class, like just different truck type skills, and it's opened up my eyes. Like how the engine guys and ladder guys always give each other banter, but truly, man, like the truck work, true truck work, it is very difficult. It's an art. It's an art.
Like you said, dude, it's definitely an art. And I think that's why I've really enjoyed it like right now, because it's not, I mean, nothing we do is super black and white, but when it comes to like search, there's so many different avenues that you can take, going about it. And I love kind of where we're at right now in the fire service when it comes to search, with all the data we got out there and the experience of the guys that are trying to get out there and teach and bring it home to like all these different departments. And it's making guys have a lot more conversation about it, which I think is crucial. And it's making guys just think. And that's what we got to do. We got to be really good firefighters that are thinking firefighters. And the truck stuff, it dude, just like you, I mean, it's a taxing thing, you know, like victims aren't light, you know, like
Right.
and it is work, like it is work. And yeah, there was a contrast, you know, with that and the engine work stuff, because you know, there was a almost a finesse, you know, with engine works, you know, try not to go too fast, you know, let the water do the work, you know, when you're making a push. But you know, with the truck work, and it is work, you know, like you gotta move, and there's a lot of ground that you gotta cover really quick.
Definitely. Absolutely, man. Couldn't have said it better. Like it's work. Because I literally during break, man, I had a conversation that I was like, Kevin, I feel like, and he's like, have you been on a truck? And I was like, no, sir. I said, I've been on an engine for X amount of years. And he's like, so this is totally new to you. I said, like 100%. And he was like, you're using different muscle groups. So it was awesome how he would show us different techniques. Like, you know, just because you're small doesn't mean you can't throw the slider. Like you could do it, but there's different ways to achieve it. So, I you know, full transparency, I always tell people I don't really get involved in that banter back and forth. I think everyone has a place in the fire service, whether you're on the engine, the rescue, the ladder, the medic unit, we all have a role. But I think it's very important too, where if you're not big city, if you're a smaller department, you should still be proficient at each role, because just because you arrive, or hey, I'm on ladder, whatever, whatever, hey, we arrive first, dude, we got cross lays, you can't botch that, you can't botch that cross lay pulling it off, you can't have a pile of spaghetti right there next to the truck, man. You gotta fine tune each skill.
Yeah, and something that you said with what Kevin Luce was telling you, like with the technique. I mean, dude, that's something, you know, we were having a conversation the other day at the station, was, you know, just we're having a conversation. Really, the question was, you know, what makes a good firefighter? And I was actually talking to my battalion chief about this, and he said it really good. Like, it was, you know, it's blending tactics and strategies. So a firefighter that can blend tactics and strategies. But the first thing with tactics, you know, is being like just technically proficient, you know. So if, you know, if you're diving off into something new, you know, like if you're throwing a ladder or, you know, stretching a line or whatever it is, like, you know, being able to be like super technically sound at whatever skill that is, you know, the basics. You know, if we look at the basics from masking up, stretching, throwing ladders, search, grabs, dragging victims, you know, if we look at those basics and get extremely good at them, that frees up a lot of mental bandwidth to be able to focus on other things on the fire ground. And that's, now, to me, that is always translated to being a good firefighter, because we're not so focused on botching the cross lay or how we're throwing the ladder or masking up. You know, we're focused on things beyond that. You know, is there a victim, you know, when I open up the door, you know, looking at the fire conditions, you know, looking at where the windows are, the egress, or, you know, where the fire's been, where's that, where's it going? So being technically proficient, I've always thought it was like just huge. And, you know, we're never going to be too good enough to not make that important, you know.
100%, 100%,
Yeah.
man, 100% with that. You can never go wrong with the basics. So I tell lots of
No.
people, like, you know, so you get individuals that they get on the department, and then after a few months, hey, chief or chief cap, whatever the case, I'd like to go to this class, and it's some freaking high angle hanging off of cliffs type thing. I'm not saying that there is a place for sure, then
Absolutely.
that
Absolutely.
falls under the rescue guys, but
Absolutely.
like you, the basics, that way pulling a line, doing a search, throwing ladders, it just becomes muscle memory. You don't even have to think. It's like poetry in motion.
Yes. And so Aaron Fields once said, and it's always stuck with me, is that pros practice in boredom. And you know, that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but dude, we don't do it enough to be actually really good at it. You know, if you really think about it, because, you know, I mean, we all know that we don't run a ton of fires, but even outside the fires, how often are we getting out there and masking up? How often are we getting out there stretching the lines, throwing the ladders? The chances are it's probably not enough. No matter what it is, it's just not enough. Going back to what is a plumber, we did that every single day. Putting the pipes together, sweating pipes, doing all those things, like we practice that every single day, and there's still room for error, So being a professional, like we are, it does take that practicing and boredom and practicing the basics. If you look at sports, if you look at military, if you look at anything that's out there, I mean, that's what professionals do. You can't say that you're really good at throwing a ladder if you only done it 5 times that year. You just can't. And I'm just as guilty. I can't say I'm really good if I haven't done it all the time. So there's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. And that's the hard part about where we're at, is we have to be actually really good at a lot of things. So you're always chasing something. You're always ch chasing something to be good at.
Definitely, 100%, man, 100%. With you mentioning Aaron Fields, I'd like to switch to the outside trading topic you wanted to discuss. Full transparency, I took an Aaron Fields class, and this is by no means, I'm not saying this is what he does, but the way that man talks and makes you think, I felt like I was mediocre to his way of thinking. If in layman's terms, I felt dumb listening to him. I'm like, what is this guy
Well,
talking
me and
about?
you both, dude. Me and you both. Me and you both.
If anyone out there has never had a chance to take an Aaron Fields class, please do so. You sit there and it was just like, this fucking dude's genius. But you talk to him, he's so humble that he'll be like, no. But the way he talks, how he teaches, man, it's freaking beautiful.
Yeah, and dude, the great thing about fire service that there's so many guys out there. And so I've learned so much from the guys at our department, and the thing that I've always been was just curious, like I've always just been curious. I'm trying to figure out what the truth is, or what at least like what's close, and then I try to come up with my own conclusion about it. So it's pulling information from, the mentors I have in my department, but then going outside of that too, and it was one of the lessons learned was, when I first started going to some outside trainings, it was just, man, there's like so much good information, and so many good things that could get pulled out of it. And what I really had to learn was, okay, what can I bring back, and what works for our department? Because it's not everything that everybody teaches out there, is gonna completely translate into it. So it's trying to find, the common denominators and kind of those core principles that a lot of these guys are teaching, engine company stuff, truck company stuff, leadership stuff, and trying to boil it down to those principles and bringing it back. But yeah, as far as Aaron Fields goes, if anybody has a chance to go to that class, I'd really, really recommend it. There's things that he said that didn't make sense. This is when like it's good. It's like it didn't make sense at the time, but then over time it kind of does. And hopefully that makes sense.
No,
But
I can relate because I 100% agree with you. And it's like the more you take his class, you learn something else. Even though you've heard it before, you're just like, oh shit, like I just picked up on that 100%.
The way he just views the profession, I've always liked, it's because he views it as a profession. This is our job. This is our trade. This is what we do. And it's not about ego. It's not about joining the club. It's about what we do, which is we save people and we put out fires and we do good by the community that we serve. And that's all it is. And we do that by being good at our job.
Absolutely.
By learning fire behavior, learning, the what we do is to make a good fire attack, to make the conditions more survivable for people, and just doing what we do. And I've always loved the way you put things. No, it was a good class, good experience.
Have you taken any other class, outside of your department that you try to bring back in?
I mean, yeah, a lot. But
Because that's the thing, you're in Texas,
you,
man, so you
yeah,
can. Texas
man,
is like the state of
we're
outside
honestly
training.
we're yeah, we're spoiled. Like, there's a lot of guys that come through, and so I'll try to take them, when I can. I got 4 kids at the house,
You
and
said
family.
four?
So yeah, I got four.
Wow.
Their ages 6, 5, 4, 3. So we had them all four in
Damn.
4 years. So yeah, as you can imagine, we're like super busy. We got a lot going on. So it's kind of slowed down a little bit over the years. But I was just thinking the other day, I was like, dude, it's just a good time, I feel like, to be in the fire service, because I know that, 10 years ago, it wasn't quite the same, as far as the availability to get outside your own walls and to learn some stuff, of the fire service, and to be a student of the craft. And so yeah, I've definitely been fortunate, and with a lot of people coming through DFW area or Oklahoma, or down by Austin and stuff like that. So yeah, it's definitely nice. And just like I said, one thing I definitely learned was, to absorb, to get out there and learn. We're just trying to be better at the job. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to do our part and be professional. And so when you get all that information, or you train all that stuff, another part of this equation is we want to be able to influence, teach, and implement some things. So, knowing people and how people work, and kind of the human behavior of how, of people, is, you don't want to be too abrasive. You
Absolutely. Yes,
don't
sir.
want to come out too strong. So something a captain told me, and I was always kind of stuck to, when it comes to, trying to implement something new or whatever it is, or especially, or even like coming forth with a proposal or something like that, if that's something you're going to do, is, gather up all the information, package it really nicely, put it on the shelf, and when the time is right, you take that thing off the shelf, you dust it off, and then you present it as it is. So, and that's probably more like proposal stuff. But as far as any outside training they kind of bring in, it's, just a little bit at a time. You don't want to fire hose them and bring in all this stuff. It's just a little at a time.
No, you're correct with that. And that's something I've had to learn. And I've learned that also by hearing other people talk about, hey, when they get back and they're fired up and they're like, hey, I learned this, and if we're not doing it this way and we're wrong, like
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
the way to shut everybody down when they're like,
Exactly.
okay, there, guy, like,
Yeah, it's like, simmer down now.
yes,
Yeah.
like you come in and you tactfully talk about, hey, this is what I learned. Bits and pieces can work for our department. Not everything that you're going to learn is going to work for your agency, but there are definitely little things here and there that can, somebody might be like, oh, I did not know that you could do something this way, or, oh, that's pretty neat. So I 100% get you where you need to mind your tone and your abrasiveness to certain things, because we're all type A personalities. We're
Everybody says
all,
tackle.
yes, very tactful, and we're all in different seasons, I would say, in our life, where some guys who used to be into the job are not as much engaged anymore. And I'm not saying that's wrong, because we it, Got
we
a lot
never of
know what's going
experience.
on in someone's life, but
Exactly. Yeah.
we all know the ones that are checked out or the ones that are like, hey, this person used to be this, but they're not right now. So I 100% get you. With that, I want to ask, how did the smoke diver program come about? Like, did somebody tell you, or did you hear about it and you're like kind of curious? Because the way you came into the fire service is 100% awesome because you jump with both feet in. But the way I look at it, not anybody can just be like, oh, smoke diver? All right, cool. I'm gonna take that program and smoke it. Like, I'll pass. No, you have to, there's lots of things you have to do to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, man, that's man. Yeah, so smoke diver was on the radar for a couple years, and so the biggest thing about it off the bat was, like I said, I got four kids and a family.
Oh,
So,
did you do it while you had four kids?
oh yeah, this was last year. So yeah, four young
Damn.
kids at the house and a
Damn.
family. So I want to go ahead, give a shout out to my wife, Shelby. Absolutely amazing. The true hero of the journey. So, but it was a commitment, right off the bat with my family. So that was the kind of the first things first. She knows about it, and then, but it was just letting her know, okay, like, this is what the program is. This is the commitment it's going to take. And with that being said, she agreed to, go on this journey with me. And obviously everything I did leading up to that journey, or leading up to Oklahoma, I tried to keep them in mind, the entire time. So it was a lot of early mornings and working out during nap times and all that type of thing. But doing smoke divers, and I guess for those that maybe don't know the program, I feel like it's everywhere now.
It is.
There's
It's
a lot of
becoming
stuff.
very more popular. Yes.
So, if you want to do the research on it, look up a video or two or their Instagram page or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there now, but it's 6 days long. And it's, kind of the easiest way to describe it. It's kind of like a selection course for the fire service. It's a lot of it's focused on survival. We do each day we do PT in the morning, like calisthenic work. And then we go right into a no course, and then, which is like, what you kind of work out, you do at the fire station, flipping tires, hoisting ropes and stuff. And then we go into like a 3 to 5 mile run afterwards. And then all day long, it's kind of like as if you're going to a training. It's like outside training, but we're doing, the first few days we're learning all the skills and drills of things, or learning the skills of things. And then kind of the last 3 days it's doing the drills. So, it's kind of putting everything together, doing, a lot of scenarios under live fire, a lot of scenarios and, pitch black smoke. And the thing about what attracted me to the class was, and I'm sure just like every other guy is like, can you do it? Can you actually get through that? Can you, are you are who you say you are? Can you put yourself out there with knowing there's a good chance of failing and doing it anyways? Putting everything aside, putting your ego down, putting everything you got down, and just lay it all out there online. And like I said earlier, it's going all in on it, and to see if you can do it, because, this is, the fire service we live in today, we're not in it all the time. We're not fighting fires all the time. So trying to do, and there's nothing super technical about smoke divers. It's the basic skills. It's just different conditions. So that's something that attracted me as well too. It was doing those basic skills under hard conditions. When you're tired, and you're stressed, and everything's, just kind of a soup sandwich in your mind, can you still perform? And that's another thing is nobody cares exactly how you feel. Nobody cares how you feel. You have to, can you do it or not? When the moment comes. And that's something, it's like an answer you want to answer, a curiosity, that I have is, can you do it when the time comes, no matter what condition that you're in? Can you make it happen? And they have a standard there, and you either meet that standard or you don't. And so that's, there's probably a lot of guys out there that want to try to do that. And that was something, that I wanted to be a part of, that I wanted to try. And it was a very special experience, and I was glad I finally did it. So
And were you successful your first try?
I was,
That's awesome. And I'm not saying like that to be to to put you on a pedestal, because there are people that it takes multiple times, but to get it on the first try, I think is like super special and super humbling. Because I mean, dude, I personally, I would love to do it, but me and my wife, we have one daughter who's five. I can't imagine going, "Hey babe, this is what I want to do," and she's like, "All right, cool, but you're doing it with four kids." Like, that's the thing. Another topic also is that the wives or your significant others, man, they're like unsung heroes. You know what I mean? They don't
Oh,
people don't forget or people don't forget. People don't remember that without your significant other allowing you to go to outside training, whether it's smoke divers or OBT or FDIC, whatever the case may be, anytime we go to outside training where we leave our family behind, like your significant other becomes the sole provider. And I think they don't get enough credit. So with me saying that, I want other firefighters to know that are listening to this, be sure to thank your wife, partner, significant other when you're away on shift and your kids are sick or, whatever the case may be, man, your significant other plays a huge factor in your success.
Oh man, dude, I'm so glad you're talking about that, because I couldn't agree more. And Shelby, she was such like just a warrior wife, like just hold down the fort. Four kids, like she had it harder than I did, and I'll never forget, because like I said, it was a commitment right off the bat, going to smoke divers. I'll never forget, she told me, she's like, if you don't finish, you're not coming back. So dude, so talk about motivation. That was motivation, getting through it. And just speaking of motivation real quick, there was a couple guys at the station, younger guys at the station I work with. They were motivation too, because I knew this, it was something that they looked up to, or you don't want to let them down. That's all it is. And the guys at the station. But yeah, as far as wife goes, I did it for her, in a sense, because, and I, so at the end of that class, they asked me, why did you do this? And I mean, this is after 6 days of
Right.
just
Grit.
getting your balls just
Getting right.
punched in the whole
Right.
time. I had like mush brain, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth was, I wanted to learn how to suffer well for my family, for anything that kind of came along in my life. And I don't know, I always think back to that, because that's true. I did. I wanted to learn how to suffer well for my family, because we're going to go through hard times. No matter who you are, we're all going to go through really tough stuff, and you want to make it through it, and you want to not just survive, but kind of thrive through it, and see the good that comes out of it, no matter how crappy it may seem, at the time. So that was kind of why I did it. And because I got, like I said, I got four kids too,
Yeah.
so I gotta set the example for them. And this was just something, to test myself,
No,
to get through it. So
dude, you're good, because like you just gave me goosebumps, because that's everything I do. And it was funny because I freaking sent this text message to my wife yesterday. It kind of revolves that, but I put myself out there on social media when it comes to like workouts and this podcast
big.
and people to freaking just care about the damn fire service. But I do it, not only do I do it for me, but I do it because my family is important to me. Every time I go to work and I pull out of my driveway, I look to my left and I'm looking at my house, and I tell myself, and I know this might seem fucked up, but this is the reality. Like, I hope this isn't the last time I'm looking at my house. You know what I mean? Like, I want to come back home the next day. When I FaceTime my daughter during, during the day when she's not at school, it's like I want to physically see you. And so I have a hard time grasping and seeing individuals that come into work and they just don't care. Like, I understand, like, people always say everyone has different interests and levels of into the job, but I cannot, I'm sorry, you will never be able to shake this from me, but if you don't care enough about pulling cross lays, getting good at searching, throwing ladders, like, I have no use for you. And I don't mean that to be like brash, but the reality of our job is serious. Like, I want to come home to my wife and my daughter. So when I'm at work, I play the part, act like it. You know what I mean? We are professionals. It's not, when we get that emergency, it's not the time to go, can I do this? No, it should be like fucking muscle memory. Let's do it. Let's get the job done.
Let's go.
And I know there's things out of our control that we can't, we all answer to a higher calling. Hopefully we all believe in a higher calling. And I get that there's different variables and factors that are in that, but I will try to control what I can control. And I love the fact that you mentioned your family, man, because I look at it as, if I ever go into a smoke diver program, when I'm at a point where I'm sure there's a point where the instructors, because talking to Marcos, like, all those instructors are watching, like, different people are watching you. So it's like, all right, this guy or girl looks like they're gonna be done. And it's like, you put in your head, when it sucks, when that suffering sucks, think of why you're there. You're not doing it just for you, man. So kudos to you, man. Kudos to your wife, because it's not a very easy feat to get it on the first try.
No, and I didn't want to do it more than once either. So it's a dude, I got a ton of respect for those guys that make it a day three, four, five, and they do it all over again.
Right.
That's, dude, that is, to me, I'm like, man, that is cool. Like, if you can go through that and do it all over again. And but yeah, and I was just it was all in. And that's just the attitude I had towards it. So
Awesome. And at the end, did they come see you? Because I know, like, sometimes they arrange where the family comes,
oh yeah.
once you get your, what do they call that thing?
Oh, like you're talking about the bowl.
The
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
the
I mean,
bowl washers.
I'm sure there was no greater feeling than seeing your wife and your four kids, knowing all the shit that you went through, the sweat, the grind, the pain, man, it was all worth it.
Oh yeah, no, it was, and honestly, so talking about that, I told her, I was like, hey, babe, like, don't worry about bringing the kids all the way. She wanted to come, but hauling the kids around, I was like, no, you don't have to make that drive all the way there. So I drove home, and I remember having a conversation on the way home, and I just couldn't thank her enough. That's all it was. I just couldn't thank her enough. And that was special. And then coming home, was special. And, maybe one last thing on it. When I came home, that was a special time for me, because, and it was a good just lesson in humility is all it is because when I come home, you're beat up, you're tired, you got bumps, bruises, toenails falling off, all these things going on. And you kind of just expect like, hey, I'm just gonna recover, you know, like a day or two. But no. There's a job that needs to be done. Diapers need to get changed. You know, food, dinner needs to be made. Lawn needs to be mowed. You know, so the lessons learned from that whole week was, hey, you got a job to do. Nobody cares how you feel. And that just burned into me as soon as I got home. And it was like a light. I was like, holy crap, you know, because I had a job to do. I had to be a dad. I had to be a husband. And nobody cares, you know, because I had a job. And so I loved coming home and seeing that translation right off the bat. That was one of the coolest things about it.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. I love the message because there is a message behind that. You know, so many people are lost into the, or you know, they see, hey, I want to be a smoke diver, but that's all they think about. And that, but you know, there are other things out there that are more important. You know, back to reality. Yeah, you went through
Absolutely.
your 6 days of hell, but the bills are still coming, right? The bills don't
Exactly.
go,
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Ryan's on, he's doing smoke divers. We're gonna pause his bill for a little bit.
Nope.
Like, no, shit's
Nope.
still coming in the mail like
Yeah,
clockwork.
the beat goes on. Yep.
Awesome, pal. With that being said, our last topic, leadership. What does leadership look like to you?
So I've always really enjoyed leadership, and it's always been a fun adventure to learn more and more about it. And I was lucky enough when I first came on to have mentors that took me under their wing and was to, hey, like you should go to this leadership symposium. You know, you should try to learn about this stuff and see what it's all about. And I did, and I quickly realized, you know, that leadership, you know, it's not just in the fire service, but it's in life, you know. So there's like a lot of good things you can learn from it. And one of the coolest lessons I learned early on was leadership isn't about rank, you know. I know a lot of us have heard that before, but you know, sometimes there's a new guys like myself when I was brand new, like I equated leadership with rank. So, you know, learning quickly that you can have influence as a leader, even without rank, even actually as a day one guy on the fire in the fire service, you can be a leader 100%. And that's something I really like to talk about with new guys that come in because, you know, the attitudes and effort that they bring in on day one can be contagious and influence the guys around them 100% from old to new. You know, what they do can influence them. So, you know, and that's something within our sphere of control. So, so that's an important conversation. I like to have with the new guys, and it, you know, in leadership, I feel like it equates, you know, even to to your family, you know, serving your family and building a relationship, you know, with your family, you know, just like you do in the firehouse. I feel like those two interconnect, you know, a ton. And, you know, the core principles of leadership and serving others, treating people the way you want to be treated. I just think is, you know, it's something that we can all learn from,
Oh,
and we,
absolutely.
you know, from day one, we can learn from that.
Absolutely. And the fact that whenever you get a new person, you're teaching them that is, I think it definitely helps the future generation of the fire service, because I always kind of go back to that quote of be the leader you wish you had when you were growing up in the fire service. So
Absolutely.
I see that 100%, man. When you full transparency, when you get that new person come in, it's like, hey, this is how it needs to be done. This is how you need to act. Bring that energy, have that good attitude. So fantastic, man. And the last question I always like to ask people, it's and I always have to state this, it's not like a bravado or what I'm trying to achieve. Where would you like to see yourself retiring out of in the fire service? Like, what rank? What are your aspirations?
So I've always wanted to be a company officer. You know, I just think the thought of having your own crew, your own guys, you know, that you can lead, mentorship, you know, work with, work alongside, to me has always been super appealing. So, you know, and don't get me wrong, like I love being a firefighter. I love being the guy that does the thing. You know, I love the guy to be the guy that you know, do the skills and is up front and center with what we do as firemen. But I know at some point I probably need to move on. And you know, at least at our department, it's, you know, driver, lieutenant, and then captain. But you know, in down the line, I wouldn't mind being a lieutenant or a captain, you know. And it's, yeah, that sounds probably weird, but you know, having that almost like a father-son relationship, or
Yeah, no.
you know, like there's something about that, like just loving your people, you know, that's
Yeah.
all. It's just loving the people. And I like, and that goes back to, you know, leadership. You can do that right now. And I do. And like, I love the guys I'm with. I love them. And I love to ask questions about them, learn about them. And just, I mean, if it's firefighting, I love to help them, but you know, life stuff, I love to help them. And I just want to know, get to know them. And I just want to do more of that, you know, like as time goes on. And because it's, like I said, I love firefighting and everything we do as our profession, but I love the people too. You know, like I want to make guys around me better and set an example and, you know, turn men into men, you know, as husbands and both as firemen, professionals, you know, in their walk of faith, or you know, whatever it may be, you know, I really want to pour. I just want to pour into the guys, and I know at the different levels you have more influence to do certain things. So,
100%. No, 100%, man. Like, there are some people who just want to stay firemen until they retire. That's cool too.
no
And
problem.
then there are some people who, at some point, you need to make that decision internally with yourself. Talk to your significant other, like, hey, I want to move up in rank. And the way I look at it is, like, you have aspirations of being a company officer, whether lieutenant, captain. But to me, I look at it as once you get to that point and you get your own crew, I don't see one person going, man, all right, I'm a captain. All right, my crew sucks. They cannot depend on us. And I'm cool with that. Like, no person thinks like that. It's always got to be, I know for me, if I ever decide to be a company officer, I still want to, number one, even though I'm company officer, I want to remain a fireman. I want to be able to
Yes.
show my firefighters I can do the skills as well. Not just, hey, do this. I just direct. I'm the orchestra, whatever, the conductor, you do all the work. No, I still want to be able to do all the work, but I want to have a crew where when you arrive on scene and go, truck 553's on scene, command, you have an assignment. They're like, truck 553, A shift, whatever shift you are. Absolutely. Hey, we're gonna bypass this loser company. I'm sorry, I said it. There are loser companies out there, and we're gonna put you right to work. You want to be that go-to crew. You want to be that. You want to have that. Like, at least that's the way my mind thinks. I don't know a company officer out there that's like, I just want to be a company officer with a shitty ass crew. No.
Yeah, well, dude, you know, it goes back to, you know, the reputation that you build, you know, right off the bat, you know, as you go along in the fire service, you know, that reputation, like you said, precedes you. So, you know, as soon as you're being a company officer, you've already set the tone, you know, they know who you are, and you know, you kind of already set that tone, and it's true, you know, like the chiefs know which crew they want working, you know, they definitely know that. So yeah, I'm with you. You know, I definitely don't want to be average. You know, I don't know anybody, like, and I know
Right.
there's guys out there that are probably okay with it, but I think it really is just they get comfortable, and we all want to be comfortable. But you know, if we're comfortable, we're not growing. And if we're comfortable, and if we're not moving forward, we're probably moving backwards. So, stepping out of the comfort zone is a big deal. And we don't, I don't know. We just, I'm not a fan of being average.
I'm not either.
I don't
To
know of anybody
me,
that really wants to be average.
right.
Yeah,
But
being
you have
average.
them. Yeah, average to me equals the minimum standard. Like, hey, I did what I was supposed to do today. I do not go above this line here. I don't want to be that person.
So Aaron Fields said it best. There's those guys that have their pension, and there's those guys that have your back.
I like it. Makes sense.
You gotta know who those are. And at the end of the day, this job is, it's just like you're saying, like it's serious,
Yeah.
Actions have consequences or lack thereof sometimes, It's
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Ryan, man, I truly appreciate you taking time out of your day, man. I mean, wow, four kids. I'm astounded by that because you look so young, man. Like,
Yeah, I
four
am.
kids. We have one, and we're like, hell no, we're not having any more. Like,
No.
we're good. But seriously, man, thank you for coming on. Thank you for spreading your message. I think everybody, as long as you are positively trying to contribute to the fire service, everyone has a story to tell, gems and nuggets to be dropped. Shelby, thank you for sharing Ryan with me for a little over an hour.
Yeah.
Truly, truly mean that. Thank you very much. Thank you to all the wives, significant others, like I said before earlier. Without you, like, I'm trying to, I remember my dad told me, like, when you get married, it's not about you, it's about like us. So she keeps me in check. I'm not afraid to admit that when my ego gets ahead of me or I fire back like I'm at the firehouse, she quickly reminds me, hey, you're not at the fire station. And it's like, yes, ma'am, you are 100% right. Sorry about that. So thank you, man, for coming on and spreading the good word. I really do appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.